Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Today we continue our study of Sefer Yirmiyahu, focusing on the 16th chapter, in which the prophet records that Hashem barred him from marriage and fathering children. Lo tikach lecha isha, ולא יהיו לך בנים ובנות במקום הזה. כי כה אמר השם על הבנים ועל הבנות הילודים במקום הזה, ועל אמותם היולדות אותם, ועל אבותם המולידים אותם בארץ הזאת. ממותי תחלואים ימותו, ולא יספדו, ולא יקברו, לדומן על פני האדמה יהיו. ובחרב וברעב יחלו, והייתה נבלתם למאכל לעוף השמיים ולבהמת הארץ. You must not marry or have sons or daughters in this place. For this is what Hashem says concerning the sons and daughters born in this place, and the mothers who bore them, and the fathers who fathered them in this land. They will die from deadly diseases. They will not be mourned or buried, but will lie like dung on the ground. Or they will be finished off by the sword and famine, and their corpses will become food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. Radak, among others, is very disturbed by this decree, and points out that even though many will perish by sword or starvation, a considerable multitude of Judea will be taken captive and survive even in exile. Wouldn't the merit of Yirmiyahu's righteousness secure the life of a wife and children? Why must such a virtuous man be condemned to loneliness and lovelessness? Thus he posits that the ban was limited to this place, referring to Anatot, Yirmiyahu's birthplace, in which the men who had plotted to kill Yirmiyahu were condemned, as indicated earlier in chapter 11, that there shall, quote, be no remnant to them, unquote. Malbim points out that the decree against Anatot applied only to the adults, since the book of Ezra indicates that among those who returned to Eretz Yisrael after the 70 years in exile were 128 Jews descended from Anatot. Thus he agrees that this decree was limited to the time Yirmiyahu spent in his hometown. However, Abarbanel argues that Yirmiyahu spent his young years in Anatot. He was sent to Yerushalayim, where he reached adulthood and marriageable age, and thus was relegated to a life of ascetic service to Hashem. Yirmiyahu was sent to speak to all segments of society in the capital of Judea, but Hashem forbade Yirmiyahu from attending social events, funerals and festivals alike. He was banned from commiserating with or comforting mourners, even though he was naturally a sensitive and empathic person. Ki koh amar Hashem, al tavo bet marzeach, ve'al telech lispod, ve'al tagod lahem, ki asafti et shlomi me'et ha'am hazeh ne'um Hashem, et ha'chesed ve'et ha'rachamim. Do not enter a house where there is a funeral meal. Do not go to mourn or show sympathy, for I have removed from this people my peace, my loving devotion, and my compassion. Yalkut Shimoni quotes Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Yossi, who explained that the chesed and compassion that Jews display for one another awaken love and kindness between Am Yisrael and their Father in heaven. By withholding gestures of comfort and sympathy, the prophet would not forestall the merciless judgment, as indicated in verses 6 and 7. Both great and small shall die in this land. They will not be buried or mourned, nor will anyone cut himself or shave his head for them. No food will be offered to comfort those who mourn the dead. Not even a cup of consolation will be given for the loss of a father or a mother. Apparently the death toll of the Churban will be so overwhelming, and the war so intense, there will be no time for funereal and mourning rituals. Radak takes note that the bereaved will not mutilate themselves or tear out their hair, as they were wont to do, imitating the pagan customs of the Canaanites, though the Torah expressly forbids such practices. They will be too overwhelmed with the struggle for bare subsistence, leaving no time or inclination to attend to the dead. Abarbanel posits that by demonstrating social isolation and withdrawal from all communal events, Yirmiyahu was to personify the impending horror that would eventually befall Yehuda. In addition to verbal prognostications, he was sent to dramatize the future disasters that will affect his people. His behavior would arouse curiosity and perhaps provoke revulsion and questions, particularly when he would refuse to attend weddings and family celebrations. Then he could explain, Ki ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, Elokei Yisrael, Hineni mashbit min ha-makom hazeh le'inechem uviyemeichem, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala. For thus says Hashem of hosts, the God of Israel, I'm about to withhold from this place before your very eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And should they ask, Uma avoneinu, uma chatateinu asher chatanu laHashem Elokeinu, then Yirmiyahu could explain, Al asher azvu avoteichem oti, ne'um Hashem, וילכו אחרי אלוהים אחרים ויעבדום וישתחוו להם, ואותי עזבו ותורתי לא שמרו. ואתם הראותם לעשות מאבותיכם, והנכם הולכים איש אחרי שרירות ליבו הרע לבלתי שמוע אליי. All this is occurring because your ancestors forsook me and followed other gods and served and worshipped them. You've behaved more wickedly than your ancestors. See how all of you are following the obstinate inclination of your evil hearts instead of obeying me. The people are being punished for the sins of their fathers because they not only follow the evil ways of their forebears, but they outdo them in immorality and apostasy. And ironically, the punishment for idolatry will be exiled to countries where they will be forced to worship alien gods. V'italti etchem me'al ha'aretz hazot, al ha'aretz asher lo yedatem, atem ve'avotechem, ve'avadetem sham et Elohim acherim, yomam v'layla, asher lo eten lachem chanina. So I will cast you out of this land, into a land neither you nor your ancestors have known. And there you will serve other gods day and night, for I will show you no favor. Then, abruptly, in the midst of a chapter of doom and gloom, comes a glimpse of hope for redemption in verses 14 and 15. Lachen hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem, ve'lo ya'mer od chai Hashem asher e'ela et bnei Yisrael m'eretz Mitzrayim. כי אם חי השם אשר העלה את בני ישראל מארץ צפון ומכל הארצות אשר הדיחם שמה והשיבותים על אדמתם אשר נתתי לאבותם. The days are coming, declares Hashem, when it will no longer be said, as surely as Hashem lives, the one who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt. But it will be said, as surely as Hashem lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all of the countries to which he had banished them. For I will restore them to the land I gave their ancestors. Mitzudot explains, because the Jews will be oppressed so severely in their lands of their dispersion, Hashem will give them a reprieve and bring them back to Israel even before they have fully repented. You will recall that originally the enslavement in Egypt was supposed to last 400 years, but was cut down to 210 years because of the intensity of the suffering imposed by the Egyptians. However, the fleeting vision of a miraculous and merciful return to Eretz Yisrael is pushed into the distant future as the dark present crashes back into the life of Yirmiyahu in verses 16 and 17. Hineni sholeach ledayagim rabim neum Hashem vedigum ואחריך נשלח לרבים ציידים וצדום מעל כל הר ומעל כל גבעה ומנקיקי הסלעים. כי עיניי על כל דרכיהם לא נסתרו מלפניי ולא נצפן אבונם מנגד עיניי. But for now, I am sending for many fishermen, declares Hashem, and they will catch them. After that, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill, even from the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, and their guilt is not concealed from my eyes. There will be no hiding or evading the consequences of wrongdoing. And the promises of Geula and return to the land of Israel will be postponed until the sins are expiated, as Yirmiyahu's generation would suffer not only for their behavior, but also for the sins of their forefathers, as stressed in the 18th verse. And I will first repay them double their iniquity and their sin, because they have defiled my land with the carcasses of their detestable idols, and they have filled my inheritance with their abominations. When parents engage in immoral behavior without any concern for the impact it will have on their children, divine justice demands punishment that is measure for measure. So children will reap the consequences not only of their own crimes, but also of their parents. Thus, the generation that will experience Churban HaBayit will recognize that they are suffering not only for their rebellion against God, but also for their callous indifference to the impact their immorality and selfish indulgence had on future generations. Thus, Megillat Eicha records their lament, "Our father sinned, but there are no more, and we have borne their iniquities." Nevertheless, the prophet holds on to a fleeting message of hope, grasping for dear life to the message that there will be some benefit gained from the destruction of Judea and the long exile. After all, his initiation to prophecy indicated that his mission was to uproot and shatter, but also to build and plant. So this paragraph is capped by Yirmiyahu's prayer that Galut will ultimately be redemptive for both Am Yisrael and the Gentiles among whom they live in the diaspora. Hashem uzi umauzi umenosi biyom tzara. Elecha goyim yavou meafse aretz. Voyomru ach sheker nachalu avotenu. Hevel ve'em bam mo'il. Hashem, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of affliction. To you shall the nations come from the ends of the earth and shall say, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, vanity and things in which there is no profit. When Jews and all humanity recognize the futility of idolatry, whether cloaked in monuments to mythical gods or disguised in political ideologies, then they may return and recognize the immutable value of human life and the eternal Creator who endowed them with reason and compassion. Thus Hashem promises, therefore I hereby am letting them know this time my hand and my might, so they may know that my name is Hashem, the All-Merciful. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.